The opinions expressed on End Time do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Impro Mafia. But just because I'm wholly accountable for my actions isn't going to stop me. Impro Mafia presents End Time!
Welcome to End Time, a podcast for improvisers and aspiring improvisers. I'm Dan Beeston, Impro Mafia's resident tech guy and designer.
And hello, I'm Natalie Bohensky. I look after the media for Impro Mafia, as well as play.
President Natalie Bohensky.
That is actually true. I
wrote it down and everything.
Oh, did you? Let me read this, people. Natalie Bohensky, Impro Mafia's least humble president to date. Well, isn't that brilliant? Thanks, Dan. Great.
I've never heard anyone use the phrase, well, now I'm president of Impro Mafia, so much.
Well, listen, I'm just saying that it's a new era. It's no more Fidel Castro. I'm Ronnie Castro, the younger brother, and I'm coming in and starting to stir things up a bit, to kick up some fun. I've found myself in this position and I'm starting to trying to work out how I can actually make it more than just a figurehead position that everyone mocks. I'm not saying it's been that.
Take that, Alex Reichardt.
No, I'm not saying it's been that at all. Certainly Wade, as artistic director, has the final say generally on how we go with shows and things like that. But
he's very good at manipulating whoever's the president.
Yes, and I've already felt his cold, spidery fingertips on my spine.
I'm just thinking, how lucky is that girlfriend of his? Oh, cold, spidery fingertips.
Cold, spidery fingertips. They're a comfort in the heat of summer. No, I'm not trying to bag the office of presidents at all. I'm just trying to work out how I can be of service and be very useful to the company and obviously use the title for my own evil ends. Start putting it on my business cards.
So you're exactly like all the previous presidents of
Impro Mafia. Absolutely. It's no yes we can from me. I am Barack Obama. I'm just, you know, I don't want to put it out
that
there.
That was fascinating watching him manipulate that crowd like that. Like the repeated strain and then they started chanting it. And I was like, those people are being manipulated and they don't even realize.
It was fun manipulation, I guess, for a change. I'm being manipulated to believe that I can hope that anything is possible and that I can change the way we live our lives for the better.
We're always manipulating someone.
Yeah.
Or trying to.
Wade. No.
Right. Now I've suddenly got someone on my team and bagging out Wade on the podcast.
No, I have no intention of doing that. I went through a period just recently with Impro Mafia, just before I got elected president, of feeling very, very down in the dumps about it all and very unloved and, you know, feeling like my contributions were not particularly worth much to the company. And I would hate for Wade to ever have one of those periods, because without Wade, I think we would all wind up down the toilet faster than...
It is very comfy up here on his shoulders.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, before we start, any riffing on Wade is purely affectionate. Can we just caveat that?
All right, now, first cab off the rank, I've got an apology to make to anyone who downloaded the podcast in the first day that it was up for the last podcast, because I balked the levels something horrible. And so if you listened to the last podcast and my voice was extremely loud and kept cutting off in the upper registers and Greg was a tiny, tiny mouse in the background, try downloading it again, because now the levels are correct. And if you're using iTunes... you can delete that podcast, unsubscribe, then resubscribe, and it should find the new podcast and download it for you.
So I guess the lesson for you, Dan, is don't fuck up that bad again, okay? But can I just say, so are you saying that you outshouted Greg on a podcast? Or was it electronically?
I did it electronically.
Done? I see.
He kept drifting away from the mic.
Oh, okay. So I should remain close and sexy into the mic. Hi there.
Oh, I think my left ear is getting erect.
Welcome to the End Time podcast. Tonight we'll be discussing nudity in shows. Should there be more of it? I'm nude right now. Tell me what you think. Actually, don't, because that's just asking for abuse and insult. My fragile ego can't handle that.
All right, what's been going on in the world of Impro in the last 2 weeks?
The world of Impro has been busy in the last couple of weeks. We have had the continuing running of our open mic improv show down at O'Malley's on Monday nights, which has been really successful.
It's got a really strong vibe down there.
Yeah, and my apologies to everybody who was performing in the night of the Monday night, the 10th of November. I was meant to be there. I'm very sorry, I'd worked.
I'm sure you had a very, very good excuse.
I'd worked
like saving urchins from a burning
building. Yeah, I was. I was saving junkies from themselves. And housing unloved dogs with the reformed junkies.
So you didn't sleep through the show or anything?
I didn't sleep through the show, to be fair. I woke up at 7:25 when Greg knocked on the door and went, "Do you want some dinner?" And I woke up going, "What time is it?" He went, "Oh, it's about 7:30. I went, "I'm supposed to be playing in the show." So I'd gone to the Grudge Match show the night before after working, and we had, as we always end up doing, our social bunch, social gadflies, we'd end up chatting and drinking after the show. So I think I got to sleep around midnight, and then I had to be up at 3:20 to start work at 4.
Oh, the excuses just pile up.
And then I finished at midday,
up, don't they?
And then I went to sleep, and I'm sorry, but I slept for a long time.
The biggest problem I had was that I'm used to you turning up late to every show, really.
And thank you, Dan.
And so you didn't turn up, and I'm like, Nat always turns up.
I do always turn up.
Eventually. But I only realized that you hadn't turned up in the third game of the first round when I'm like, and I need two people to... Oh, God. We've still only got seven people, so that means we've got one person left. And I had to do some quick thinking on my feet, which basically involved me going, let's get this person up and someone else up.
So why don't we say, Dan, that I challenged your MC skills by my absence? Why don't we say that?
I've been saying that for 3 days now.
Ha 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 ha. I am very sorry to everyone. Please forgive me. It was obviously necessary that I sleep. I probably wouldn't have been much good to you anyway. But I understand it was another good show. Anything to report?
It was a good show.
Of interest?
We had a celebrity in the audience.
Ah, yes.
Not a real celebrity, an internet celebrity.
The best kind.
Yes, my favourite kind. We had Yahtzee. Who does an online comic thing called Zero Punctuation.
It's
for
very
the Escapist
funny.
Magazine.
It is very good.
Which I love. And I think he was quite disturbed to discover that a lot of improvisers loved, because he was quite literally swarmed during the break.
It was funny because I was at home. I woke up and then ended up staying up quite late. And I was on Facebook and noticed all these updates come in, Facebook status updates that were like, Joel got to meet Yahtzee. Dan got to meet Yahtzee. Amy got to meet Yahtzee. Oh, well, Amy knows Yahtzee. It's her
sister's boyfriend.
So other people writing on their Facebook status update saying, I got to meet Yahtzee. And I was going, what's all this about Yahtzee? And then you explained, and the zero punctuation guy went, oh, of course. I was thinking everyone had sat down and had a really exciting game of Yahtzee together. And I was like, wow, impro is getting more and more full on every year. We're not just content with beers after the show. We're going to play interesting die games.
It's like gambling.
That's true, with words.
It's like
letters.
Video poker with dice.
Yeah. But no, he is very good, Yahtzee. I enjoy his reviews.
Very pleasant guy. And I think he actually asked whether he could be a guest on this show. So I should probably follow
the
that
podcast?
Up. Yeah. He's like, I said, I've got
Does
a podcast.
Does he know
too.
Impro?
No.
Oh.
He said, oh, you're really a podcast. Do you want me to come along and be on it? And I'm like, do you know anything about impro? He's like, I really don't. Like, then I left it at that. And afterwards I was like, oh, look, I've got to be able to squeeze him in somehow.
Absolutely. What about as audience member?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's
the only thing job he's good at this point.
Dealing with geek improvisers when they swarm you after a show.
But someone asked him, so does this happen like whenever you go out? He goes, no. So you're not swarmed by a half a dozen crazy fanboys and girls.
He's found his niche. If he comes along each week, we'll treat him like a god and sit at his knee and hope that he'd dish out a dollop of wisdom.
It's quite terrifying that that situation should happen to him if, A, he goes to, like, Gen Con, and the role-playing convention, or, B, he comes to our show and has all the performers, not the audience members, all the performers come down off stage and go, oh, my God, I love you.
Improvisers do tend to be geeky people. Let's face it.
I'd like to think we're the coolest of the geeks.
Well, I mean, in that we have some performance skills.
Like the
outside,
the most charismatic of the
bounds
geeks,
of role playing and cosplay and Magic the Gathering. I'm not bagging geeks because geeks are very imaginative people and they play
games.
What are
you bagging geeks? So you've never done a geeky thing? You're not a geek yourself?
Oh no, not well. I hope I'm a geek.
Right.
I'm a history geek, if nothing else.
You've got your own blog.
I blog.
Yeah.
I'm on Facebook, but everyone's
on everyone's
Facebook.
On Facebook.
That doesn't count.
Every slut and her pimp is on Facebook.
I paid $800 for a framed one-off print of Futurama.
Yep, that'll do it.
Yep. So Am I in the club?
Yeah, you're in the club.
Thank you. Well, it's a one...
You're the president
a
of the
limited
club.
Edition.
You're
it's
President Mahinsky. You're
a one, a one, a 100 series print of Futurama.
If I paid that much for a print...
Signed by Billy West.
Three colours in it.
Well, it's got grey...
Apparently that's art.
...red and black. It's nice. It matches nice. My furniture. So I'm geeky and, you know, housey. How do we get onto this topic? No, geeks. Yahtzee attending
your
our show.
Also
I
has
think...
an overbite.
Yeah.
The ship has an overbite.
Oh, I see.
Like all these sort of Simpsons characters have an overbite look to them. And so the ship was also designed to have an overbite.
Designed to have an overbite.
Yeah.
I see.
Turns out I'm a geek too.
Really, Dan?
Who would have thought?
Wow.
So yes, Yahtzee is the show. We had no musician.
We've had no musician for a few shows now because I emceed an open mic show
Matt's
a couple of weeks
Tokyo.
Ago. How dare he?
Selfish.
Yeah, absolutely. How dare he have fun and go on holidays?
We haven't been able to wrangle in anyone else, which is disappointing. Because Chris Anderson turned up to our show, our long-form show, Touched by Hammer.
Which we'll discuss presently.
Momentarily. And he's wonderful.
He's
so much better than
And we're
Matt.
Not just saying that because he listens to this podcast. I've been having some really interesting email discussions with Chris about shows. And...
He gets terrified when we mention him on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Because last time we mentioned him, he's walking down the mall... with us in his ears, and suddenly it's like, and then Chris Anderson, he's like, oh God, they're talking at me.
So what happens if he's listening to this right
it
now, walking down the
meta.
Mall again,
it's
hearing to
exciting.
Us talking about the first time he was walking down the mall.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, something I forgot to mention last time, Chris has a improv music blog.
Yes, Musical
at
Hotspot.
At a website that I don't remember.
I can tell you.
Yeah?
It's musicalhotspot.blogspot.com, and it's very good, and it's really informative.
It is very interesting.
Coming from The View, obviously, as an improv musician, but he does have a lot of really helpful tips in there for shows and the way shows go. Mm-hmm. And so from a player perspective, it's really interesting to read about what a musician is going through.
Yeah, and we've got a new musician, improv musician.
Do we?
Me.
Yes, we do, Dan.
Because on Sunday night...
You're not just
a
geek anymore.
I'm a music geek too now. And I've been learning the guitar for 6 months, and I also picked up a ukulele... And I've learned one song on that. And the other night, I was called upon by Wade to play that song whilst everyone else sang.
Actually, only Greg sang. Mark
only Greg
and
sang.
Mike Skills backed him up with some very delicious harmonies and oohs. But it was just Greg singing about training giant atomic lobsters.
I didn't listen at all to the song. I was so focused on my playing.
It was well. Should we get onto Grudge Match or have we covered off at open mic?
Was there any?
Well, we were talking about not
there
having
wasn't
a musician.
Really anything else, I think.
Well, we were saying about how open mic hasn't had a musician for a few weeks. Yeah. I emceed one a couple of weeks ago, and I really had fun not having a musician because it meant structurally with the show, song games are often easy payoffs, I find. They're not easy games, but they're generally a really good way of getting an audience back into a show if they're lagging by putting in a song game and making it really a really fun, inclusive type of scene. And song games do that really well. And, of course, they impress the audience because most people don't like to speak in public, let alone sing in public. So they work well for that reason. And I found it quite a challenge to make sure you had games in there that kept the energy up. And I just totally ignored singing games. I just went, well, we just won't do any singing games. We'll do other games and we'll try other scenes and things like that. So I was really happy with how that went. But I know some people were aggravated because I got the audience to clap a lot by dangling a bar tab as a prize.
I tried that out the other night.
Oh, really?
I know that people didn't enjoy that so much because it became more about the bar tab than appreciation for the scenes or something.
That's what a lot of people said.
And I thought, well, if that's the case, what you could artificially boost up the energy at one point and then remove and then give the thing away and then hopefully the energy would have been boosted at that point.
I see.
And so,
you're saying you're better than me.
I'm saying that I stood on the shoulders of giants, Matt, and learned from your failures.
Great.
And I tried it out, and yeah, just in the two scenes where everyone knew that they could get beer from that, there was no sense that they were applauding the players at all, I found. It was really awkward and strange, and I was very glad to get that bit over with.
At the same time, for me, and this may not be the popular view, to have as one of your biggest problems the fact that the audience was applauding too much is really a fairly good problem to have. That's just my opinion.
It's
I understand
still
that it can be
a problem, though.
Yes, but as opposed to having an audience not clapping or responding at all, to have them clapping and responding for inflated reasons, it's not the best way. Obviously, we'd like to be performing well, but.
Well,
if you can
this
seduce
is a very
in,
interesting notion. Having a lot of noise is good for drawing more people in, But if people are making noise but they're not necessarily enjoying the show, it can give you a very misguided sense of what's working and what's not working. And something I noticed the other night was that about three quarters of the way through the show, there were bunches of people clapping and applauding, but everyone who wasn't clapping and applauding was deathly silent.
Oh, I see.
Because there were a couple of scenes that kind of fell flat in the second half.
There always are.
There always are. But unfortunately, these guys sort of lined up like ducks in a row and cascaded like dominoes. So there was a chunk of the show where the energy sort of dipped. And I think it got back up by the end of the show, but it was something which you may not have noticed if you were just listening to the feedback. And something that Sean Kinley from Canada, from Loose Moose, actually pointed out to us, that if people are making noise, but other people in the audience are sitting there with their head perched on their hand, you're not doing a good show.
Well, that's true. Okay, I'm completely wrong.
Well, I wouldn't say completely wrong.
You would. That's fine, Dan.
Yeah, all right.
Look, I seem to be flying in the face of popular opinion. After emceeing that show, maybe it was because I was in a different role as an MC, I couldn't see a huge amount of people sitting with their heads on their hands. I saw people going over the top with their applauding, sure, but I didn't pick up a vibe of bored.
Hmm. It's certainly an interesting thing to try out, and I think there's something in it. A good show, you don't need to artificially boost the energy of the show, because hopefully the show will provide its own energy, but there are some times where you are going to need to artificially boost it and hopefully pop it back up there.
Mm.
And it, offering $50 a beer seems to be an extremely effective way of doing it, oddly enough.
Mm. Well, I guess these are things we can continue to take on board.
Mm.
I, as MC, obviously, if I get the chance to MC again.
Oh, no, you're cut.
I'm cut. I'm gone. Too much dangling of bar tabs. But I hadn't emceed for a while, not since, I think, Rule Britannia. So I was quite happy with how it went, certainly from my perspective as an MC, that the show went well and the players got a good reaction or a positive reaction. Whether or not it was the most positive or the best possible positive way, maybe not. But at least there were a lot of clapping and people enjoyed themselves.
Mm. Just to get back to your comment before about having music in a show, I wasn't sure whether I was going to have music in a show or not, so I had some backup plans for that. But one thing I did forget was that a mime scene tends to benefit wholeheartedly from having a strong musical element in it.
It does.
And then I put a mime on the other night, and suddenly the entire room is deathly quiet, and I was like, oh, I've made a horrible mistake. And they did a beautiful job. I think it was Joel and Amy doing a mime about who knows what now.
You're looking at me quizzically, but I wasn't there, so I can't confirm whether it was Joel or Amy. Joel and Amy, ring up, let us know. Call in now.
They did a wonderful job, but it really lacked something because it had no backing. So I'll have to learn to play Give Me That Ding on the ukulele.
Hey!
Oh, man, I feel like slapping a baldy man.
Yeah. No, I won't say it. No, I was just trying to think of a bald man I could slight, but I don't know any.
McAllen?
Bald man. Oh, harsh.
We could do a little slap. Baldy slap on McAllen.
He's quite a large man, Dan. He's got a bigger frame than you. He'd probably put you in a headlock and...
Oh, he's good-natured.
Put you over his knee.
He wouldn't kill me. He might.
Look, all I'm saying is I wouldn't be putting a lot of money on you. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I'm wiry.
Well,
skinny guys fight to the burger.
This is kind of why I stopped and didn't sort of say anyone's name out loud. Not just because I didn't remember anyone, but also because I don't want to offend any more people.
Luke knows he's bald. There's nothing wrong with being bald.
No, of course there isn't.
Are you saying being bald is something like makes people less of you? That makes them more of a man.
No, I'm just saying that... In recent weeks...
That pretty young girlfriend of his...
In recent
weeks... She appreciates he's bald.
I bet she does. But I bet she appreciates his personality.
I bet she doesn't appreciate her sex life being talked about on the podcast. Yeah,
I wasn't saying anything about anyone's sex life.
But I was.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to get sued.
Let's move on to Grudge Match. Comedy football. Sorry.
Yes, the most recent Dan just kicked me under the table. Wasn't a flirty thing. It was an actual just a mistake. Actually, we should shake hands because in Mongolia, if you kick each other accidentally under the table, you are supposed to shake hands and make eye contact as we just have. So
we're still doing it.
Keep that in mind, people. If you're at our Christmas party coming up, if you kick someone under the table, you must shake hands.
I don't know how hard that will be to do because. Aren't the tables at this place very short?
Oh, yeah, I think we sit on the floor, don't we? Okay, well, if you accidentally nudge someone in the genitals...
It's no good for my back.
Bring a cushion.
or a rocking chair and a stable table.
Yeah.
Do they still sell them?
I'm Dan, the old man Beeston. Get out my porch. I got a worm farm on my porch. I got a worm farm. Get my stable table.
That's quite a good accent, actually. I must file that. Use that one again. I could do with a new one to add to my repertoire.
So, grudge match.
Yes. Say sure.
Yes.
I got good to play show. Ukulele. You got to play the ukulele. Greg got to sing to the ukulele.
It was very satisfying to do, too.
It was very sweet, and it was a really nice contrast to, I guess, the kind of songs we normally have, which tend to be a lot more big. This was a really dinky little Hawaiian style. Ding-a-ding-ding.
I basically played the first four bars of We'll Meet Again over and over again until someone told me to stop.
Well, it was very good. I laughed heartily.
It was very fun.
It was.
And the audience goes, oh, Greg. And Greg gets this huge round of applause and goes, oh, big thanks to Dan for the music. And I get this massive round of applause.
See, there you go.
That's why Chris Anderson and
Chicks dig musicians.
Matt Hagraff do it.
Yeah. Purely for the...
Although, I can't feel attention. That the ukulele isn't quite the instrument to woo them with. Apparently, bass guitars.
Yeah, I like the ukulele, though. Marilyn Monroe played the ukulele in Some Like It Hot. And I think if you watch that...
Does she sex it up?
She absolutely sexes it up. But then maybe for men it's a bit different. Maybe for men it sort of looks a bit emasculating. But a ukulele and Marilyn Monroe, sexy,
it
hot
depends.
Stuff.
Is it one of those things where you're compensating for something, though? If you get like a double bass, is it to compensate for your tiny penis or to hide your far too big penis?
Yeah, maybe a double bass is the musical equivalent of a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have thought that, you know, one of those big flange guitars would have been.
The ones you sort of perch in your inner thigh.
Yeah, and then you sort of stroke and where your arm hits the... Where your hand strums, you know. That happens to be right over your genitals.
Yeah.
There's a lot of symbolism there.
I've got a straight leather pants and I'm victim my bed and obviously I'm going to go to the grave.
Standing very legs wide apart, you know, gripping the neck of the guitar. Leather strap over the shoulder.
And, of course, the hand that's on the neck of the guitar is going back and forth up and down the frets.
Up and down, up and down, up and down as you thrash it wood.
It's not very effective when you're playing Guitar Hero.
I beg to differ.
I really
beg to differ. I think that there are some photos on Facebook that prove that Impro Mafia players playing Guitar Hero is a fairly sexy affair, if I can just say that. Go look them up.
I've just got a bit of vomit in my throat. So I've seen those photos. What else happened at Grudge Match?
I guess we should get out of the way the fact that it was a small number show. It was a really small crowd. I think we had 16 in the end.
Oh, okay. Usually we have 20, 22.
Yeah. So that was disappointing. But
that's because Alicia and her friends didn't come. She was at Stradbroke and her friends are all soft. And can't do anything without Alicia there to shepherd them.
I find that very true of so many sectors in society that unless you have one kind of driver amidst a group, you just won't get things. I know a lot of people.
Oddly enough, I didn't really notice that there was not enough people in the audience. Like, there was easily enough people for me to enjoy my evening.
That's the best thing about stage door, is that even a small crowd fills the venue.
Mm.
That kind of sounds weird, I know, but the venue seats up to 80 people. But if you get, well, we had 16 and that was fine. We've been getting sort of 20 to 30. And that's been great.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we could get 40 people in that venue, it'd be absolutely pumping. I mean, if we had 80 in there, I don't even know if we could all breathe. but it is a really good venue that way, where it doesn't seem empty. And the audience were really enjoying the show and getting into it, which is important too. And it was a good quality show.
Had the best time.
I could tell. You were playing with Tom Dunstan and...
Liam Burrow.
Liam Burrow. And having a blast, all three of you. And we had Mike Skills, Greg, and Mark Buckingham on the other team who were also having fun. But they seemed to be on all the time before. They were the blue team, and they seemed to always do a scene first and do a good scene. And then the red team would come on and then just do, like, trump them. So they had this sort of unenviable position of having to go first all the time. And so there were a couple of scenes where I was like, oh, the blue team should have won that try, but no, the red team took it out.
Yeah.
Purely by popularity with the audience.
Yeah, we had a couple of lucky scenes too. There were a couple of scenes with the offers that we got and the scenes that started were never ever going to fail, and it was a delight to be involved in them. You just jump in and it's wonderful. Very occasionally get into one of those scenes and you don't have to do anything. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to think about what you're going to do next. You just jump in and everyone involved is just a passenger in this overarching narrative. Mm. And that's what happened the other night. And it was wonderful meeting a shark for a date.
Well, that was funny because that was the battle round where both teams had to do a scene based on the same offer. And the offer we got was from, was called shark baiting. And I think it came from the same young lad who I believe is Peter C. Haywood, regular listener to this podcast, I believe, his younger brother, who yelled out some really crazy but wonderful offers. He was the one who yelled out, what would you be looking for in a potential partner? Healthy organs. he yelled out some crazy stuff, but I think the offer of shark dating came from him as well, which was the offer for two scenes. So first of all, we had the blue team, and that was Greg. You guys were backstage and didn't see this, but it was Greg, Mark, and Mike doing a scene, Greg getting ready for a date with a shark, and then realizing that he was actually quite bigoted and probably wouldn't want to date a shark anyway. So that was kind of a really nice scene. And then we're all thinking, what's going to happen with the next scene about shark dating? And of course, it was slightly more absurd where you were the person waiting to go on their date and you were at SeaWorld waiting for your date. And then Tom was the shark in the pen, just kept knocking on the glass, you know, waving at you, holding up a sign saying, hello. And that was really sweet and, you know, very wonderfully absurd. So two really good scenes on two very, very specific, well, one very specific offer.
Mm.
So it was a really good night for that. I would really like to put the word out there if people do listen to this podcast, and hopefully they do.
Oh, they don't. The podcast is even less popular than the show.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I have no way of knowing.
Oh, really?
I think it is pretty popular.
Are you just saying that?
No.
Are you just saying that to compensate?
I think we've got dozens and dozens and dozens of listeners to this thing. So.
Well, hopefully some of them are in Brisbane, and hopefully they will all come to our Grudge Match Christmas show, which is the 14th of December. It's a Sunday night, 7 p.m.
Mm.
And special offer. Get this. If you come and you're a regular, you know, you obviously come to Impro Mafia, or even if you've heard this podcast or whatever, come along, bring two friends, and you will get in for free.
But they won't.
No. Well, they pay. But you'll get
find
some free.
Rich friends.
Find some friends.
Rich friends.
Essentially,
find friends who could pay $10 each or $11 each.
Yes, and then
it's
you
not
get
that hard.
Or yeah, really, it's a really great value show, and you can split the cost between you. Put it like that: you pay $22 between three of you. That's like $6.50, $7 a show. So
$7.33.3.
Thank you, maths genius. So.
Caring.
Divvy it up amongst yourselves. But it's, yeah, so hopefully we'll do some more promotions and things like that and we'll get people to Grudge Match because it's a really, really good venue and it's a really good, fun show. And everyone who comes really enjoys themselves. So we really need to get the word out more. And, you know, I put my hand up as mea culpa. I haven't been doing my media duties as well as I should be.
Why not? Got a good reason?
Issues with my other media duties, which involve my career. Taking up a lot of my energy.
Well, you mean that Impro isn't your primary form of income?
Do you know, I was just thinking recently, if I was to win the lottery tomorrow, I would actually just give up work for a while and work to promote and, you know, work on Impro Mafia stuff and also arts theatre stuff.
Wouldn't that be lovely to be able to dedicate 40 hours a week to Impro? Imagine how good you get it.
Even well, yeah, even not even that much, because I would probably end up just bludging around the house, but just developing things like show ideas, developing advertising material, developing promotional material, working on media releases, working on contacting people and getting the word out, working on finding festivals that are on, other artistic people in Brisbane that are on, you know, networking, merging, talking, all that sort of stuff. But also for the Arts Centre, which I'm also involved with and would love to help out more with promotions and things like that, because theatre everywhere is having a really hard time at the moment.
Mm.
Global economic crisis, people are watching their money. Even though it's $10-$11, you'll be surprised how many people will go, well, we could spend that on a drink or two at the pub and we'd rather do that than...
Don't tell them that!
Come and see some shows. Look, I hope the people listening are going to make their own choices. At the end of the day, we have to try and offer something that is really good that will get people in. But at the same time, we are Impro. It's a niche thing. And I've been talking to some people and some people will just say, oh, I can't come. It's too far out or it's Sunday night. So my goal for the next few months is to kind of work out how we offer a product that is so good that people just can't help but come along. Like they want to be part of it. They want to be that we make something that's a cult thing that people want to attend. And if they don't attend, they feel they will have missed something out.
Rocky Horror does it with stockings.
Yeah.
Shorty shorts.
Maybe we should do some call and response audience participation.
Or stockings and shorty shorts.
Yep. Yeah. Or maybe we could try some giveaways, some more bar tabs. That's obviously a superficial thing.
More gay sex, like in Rocky Horror.
We could possibly try different kinds of shows, things that are topical, things that reflect current trends.
I could call Meatloaf.
We could get the audience to really be a part of the show by including their ideas and including feedback from them as it happens.
We should have an Impro Mafia dance. It's just a block to the left.
But
and then a wimp to the right.
But you wouldn't actually go to the left if it was a block to the left, because obviously it's a block.
Ooh.
So you wouldn't, if a block to the left wimp to the right, you would actually end up just standing completely still.
Or a block to the left, you jump to the right, and then a wimp to the left, or a wimp to the right, and you just kind of shuffle there.
We already played the game Time Warp. Do we need to develop? Well,
Let's play the Time Warp game again.
When I was in Melbourne, actually, that's who you should get on for the next podcast, is Alex or Mike to talk about their Melbourne experiences.
Well, I talked to Mike. I'm like, oh, how was it? And he goes, oh, I missed the first day because I missed my flight. Then I was really tired the next day. The next day was good. Yeah, what happened? Oh, you know, impro. Useless.
I'm sure he has many more stories
You probably, I'm getting Alex on.
You probably caught him when he was still recovering from a massive weekend of fun. But so I think we need to work out a way of getting more Rocky Horror into our shows.
But then it's cult status, baby. Then yeah, people dressing as us.
If you have an idea, you can email me personally. Do it. I'm going to put my email out there. I'm going to do it. Natalie@girlclumsy.com. Girlclumsy.com is my blog. Email me. And if you've got a spectacular idea about, you know, what would make you come and see Impro all the time, or what you think would be cult status Impro, email me, baby. And I will take it on board and try and work out how we can fashion this. Obviously,
we need pyrotechnics.
Obviously, flashbots. We need flashbots. What we need is first of all Wade's permission. And you know, I can't.
Liam and Wade gets so anxious when I bring up the idea of fireworks on stage. No. For some reason.
Stage door is probably not the best place to have fireworks, considering that it's
enclosed
a very small underneath basement area. And the Art Sid obviously burnt down in the 40s. They're a bit nervous about fire. Right. So, fire, maybe if we have a fantastic outdoor show one day, we can incorporate some fireworks. I thought fireworks were banned anyway. But no.
You sound just like Wade.
The point is, these are all things we're going to take on board, and we can't promise to do everything, but we'll certainly try. And if you
you know what?
Ideas,
my name's Dan Beeston of And Time. I promise to do everything. Everything asked of me, I promise to do it. That is my promise from me to you.
Can you build me a website?
You manipulative
It's on tape now. No, my point is, email me if you have good ideas, or if you know of particular groups, or if you have friends who are in a particular business who are looking for corporate entertainment or looking for something to do to bring their employees to, please give us some leads and we'll try and chase them up. That's certainly my goal coming into the next few months. That's my aim.
Mm-hmm. Now, to move on from Grudge Match.
Yes.
We also did a show at the Arts Theatre.
We certainly did. A long-form
show called Touched by a Hammer. Show.
How exciting was that?
It was very exciting. I directed it. It was the only thing that I've directed this year. And I only did it because Wade kept making noises like, I guess I'm going to have to direct the show. And he did that for about a week. And I'm like, fine, I'll direct the damn thing.
I'm sure Wade would probably tell that story very differently.
Oh, look, everyone always does.
I'm going to flag that here because I can see Wade listening. If, in fact, he does listen, I'm not sure. But
I think he gives each podcast about 5 minutes and then he's like, oh, I don't want to listen to Dan again. He turns off whenever we mock him.
I already have to listen when he talks to me in real life. Why would I subject myself to
Wade
an extra
doesn't listen
45
to me
minutes?
In real life?
Wade is his own man, Dan. And you might try to tame him. Some of us will try for years and never achieve. We'll never be able to tame the Wade.
We'll need a Wade whisperer.
Yes. Wade.
Economic rationalism.
Flashpots.
But Touched by a Hammer was the story of Thor and Odin crossing Middle America, solving people's problems.
And solve they did.
They did solve it.
I actually really enjoyed the show because it was a bit weird, the lead up, because we did have rehearsals and I know you did a lot of work with other cast members, like Al, who played Loki, and Mark Buckingham, who played Odin. And I understand you did lots of work separately with them.
That was a plan.
Yeah.
Didn't actually pan out.
Oh, okay.
Although I did spend some time with Al working on stuff.
Well, Dave and Wade and I played the townspeople, who were going to be the generic, you know, non-player characters, to use a role-playing term. Or an online gaming term.
Why would you do that?
Because it was the thing that came into my head when I was... We were NPCs. That's for you, Greg. Well, they were NPCs.
Yeah, no.
They came in and were used as necessary. Although, I guess not technically, because aren't NPCs people who aren't...
Let's move on from the generic D&D references.
Yahtzee, give us a call. He'll know. Yahtzee will know. He's king of the geeks. maybe not by choice. Maybe it's been fostered upon him. Yeah. In the lead-up, enjoyed the rehearsals, but kind of didn't feel as connected to the show as I'd hoped to feel. Like, with The Wake, I sort of felt really connected through the rehearsal process. And I think it was because that's when I started having a few troubles in other areas of my life. So, you know, don't want to stress people. But, you know, when you've got something else happening in your life that you're a bit worried about and it can affect other areas. Okay. Well, I'm the kind of person that happens to. Some people are really good and they're able to compartmentalize, and I really respect those people and wish I could be more like that. But if I have a problem that's taking up a lot of my time and energy and worry, it will often affect how I approach other things.
This is the curse of being a girl and being able to multitask.
I can't multitask, though.
Oh.
And I think maybe if I was able to multitask, I might be able to better compartmentalise.
Oh, okay.
I don't subscribe to the belief that women can multitask and men can't. I don't really subscribe to that, because I know that I'm good at multitasking while I'm working, for example. I can do several things and be working on several things at once. But if it comes down to I'm talking to you, I'm looking at this paper, if I was to start reading this paper and you started talking to me, I would not really be listening to what you were saying. I just kind of tune out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether that means I'm unable to multitask or just rude. but because I think I had a fair bit of other worries in my brain, it meant I couldn't get as fixed to the show as it was. However, and on the night I got held up at work, I was coming straight from work, so I think I arrived about 5 minutes to seven and had to race downstairs to get changed, and so I was kind of stressed. But as it happened, we had the short form first half of the show, which went quite well. And then the second half was really good. And I really enjoyed the character I played.
Mm-hmm.
Wade and I played brother and sister kids.
Yep.
Who were, our town had a mine, an old gold mine. That was the offer from the audience. I had a cat that had gone missing. And Thor came in and helped us find our cat. And, of course, it turned out that Dave was playing.
It's much more exciting than that sounds.
Town developer. It was, well, the thing was, is that what I loved about it, it was a really simple story. And I've been saying for ages that in impro, and particularly with long form, we don't need to make things too hard for ourselves. It's good what we're doing.
It's already too hard for
us. It's already a hard thing. We don't need to overload ourselves with more stuff. And so the fact that it was an old gold mine, a missing cat, some kids who were trying to find their cat and stumbled upon a plot by the local nasty developer who was played by Dave to redevelop this mine. Simple, simple story. You know, two good kids, one bad developer. Developer gets his, you know, comeuppance in the end. And the characters Wade and I played were kind of these really...
Naive kids
with this bizarre sexual undertone at various points. Some bizarre references, as we always do in impro. But after that, I just felt really buzzed about how the show went, because I was really happy with, I think, the contribution that I made. Obviously, I wasn't in the audience. I'm not trying to say I was brilliant. I certainly know my accent was terrible.
you and Wade got very good, very nice things said about your performance that night.
Oh, that's very kind of
people. I had people coming up and saying, Wade and Nat and you, Dan, you guys were on. You were having a peak night.
Well, I certainly hope they didn't ignore our other fine players, because I think Dave,
they didn't ignore them. And they just accepted that they were flawed on the night.
You can't say that.
What?
Everyone put in a great effort.
That's different to saying that everyone was perfect.
Well, I wasn't perfect. I wasn't perfect at all. Dan, I just looked at your shirt, and your shirt actually has on it the word perfect. Bizarre. I'm having a meta moment here. Sorry, Dan was talking about how he was perfect, and I just went, oh, in exasperation, and lowered my head and looked straight at Dan's chest, which has the word perfect written across it.
Look a bit lower and you'll see why.
My accent was terribly dodgy. during the show. I was kind of hoping that I would get away with that as being part of the charm. But I was trying to do a kind of, hey, you got to help us find my missing cat. Kind of a little bit Sarah Palin, a little bit Midwest. A little bit Midwest.
Nice.
But it kept falling out all over the place. And it went into California at one point and New York at one point. But what I was happiest about, and I think the reason
I'd love to be able to do a Boston accent.
You gotta kind of talk like JFK if you want to do a man's Boston accent.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different Boston accent.
Bostonian. I always think of Diamond Joe Quimby from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
We are not the liberal media or something.
That's quite good. That's very good, actually.
Thank you. I think that what was really good for me, and Greg Robotham likes to be barefoot. And he would, if he had the choice, not wear shoes ever.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like shoes. He likes to be barefoot. And I came in and I had shoes to wear that I wore during the first half, which were nice, you know, high-heeled shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But then because we were going into this show that was about people going to Midwest America, small-town America, and I decided I wasn't going to be a sort of high-heeled person.
Mm-hmm.
So I just decided to kick off my shoes and I grabbed the white shirt that I was wearing when I came in. Whacked it over the black shirt that I'd brought along to wear as a performance shirt and grabbed a couple of rubber bands and put my hair into pigtails and went on sort of barefoot in jeans and a white shirt and pigtails. And I felt immediately like I had a character. I was...
Oh, yeah.
It's just one of those...
I went barefoot as well. I've never played barefoot in my life, but I figured Thor... Like, I had the singlet as well.
Yeah.
I had the singlet and the bare feet, and I really had no problem sustaining the character.
It's interesting the way that can really help you, and... I just felt throughout that whole thing that I was gambling around stage and it helped my energy because I wasn't restricted by footwear. I think if I'd had worn sneakers, I would have been okay too. Wade was in sneakers. But Wade had also brought along a kind of checked shirt.
So
he put that on over his jeans. So between the two of us, we kind of looked the part as opposed to our sort of slick black shirt, blue jeans, Impro Mafia
uniform.
We were still in the jeans, but we were in a little bit more country.
We got a whole new box of shirts too.
Do we?
Yep.
Exciting.
Yep.
Are there any that'll fit me anymore, considering how massively large I am? Or am I going to have to start wearing bloke shirts and being all puffy and bulky?
Well, no, that's obviously the problem in the first place.
Well, yeah, but it's exacerbated by giant bloke shirts.
We got a special one with a girdle.
Nice. Thanks. Corset. Yes. Wear my Impro Mafia corset. Well, I really enjoyed Touched by a Hammer, and I think that the story was, considering what we had done in our rehearsal, we managed to simplify.
We had some shockers in that rehearsal.
We did, but at the same time, it shows the value of rehearsing.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got our crap out, and when we were able to...
We made big changes to the format of the show
and we were
based
able,
on the first rehearsal.
Yeah, and we were able to work out exactly how the show structure should go.
Mm.
So while we obviously improvised it, we knew that there had to be certain beats in the show. We knew that to work like the style of sitcoms and style of TV shows it was mocking, that we needed to have certain events happen at certain points. So you needed to have Thor come to the town. You needed to introduce the townspeople, introduce the problem, and then up the stakes and have, you know, a problem occur that Thor would have to solve. And so we had beats to the story.
But then there are always these beats in stories, and we know them. We generally know them intuitively.
Yes.
If the good guy turns up and there's a bad guy, the good guy will beat the bad guy. And if there's a girl who's gone missing in the woods, she'll end up being found by someone who means her harm, and she'll end up inevitably escaping. Writing down the beats of the story is just like everyone remembering the beats of the story. It just makes sure that everyone's on the same page.
Absolutely. And you're able to check with other people as to, are we up to, oh, we're up to, oh, okay, we've done that bit. All right, let's move it on. And I think long form, we are still improvising it. Everything we say on stage is improvised. The way we're getting to these plot points is improvised. But having some key points to achieve in our storyline, I don't think takes away from the improv. I think it adds to it and it helps the audience know that they're watching a story that has recognizable moments.
Mm.
So I really enjoyed it. I think there's elements we can improve and there's ways that we can tweak the structure even more to improve
it. I find the Thor character to be a bit of a one-trick pony. So I think that if we did, for instance, three or four of Touched by a Hammer in a row, it would get very old very quickly. So I think that we're probably not going to do another Touched by a Hammer for another year or two. But when it comes down to it, as long as you've got a really strong format in a show, then it should be a fun show to watch.
Mm, I agree.
we could move on to this week's topic, but we're already about an hour in. So you know what? And time!
Oh no!
You have been listening to Natalie Bahinski. She has an amazingly popular blog at girlclumsy.com.
Amazingly popular?
It's amazing that it's popular. I'm Dan Beeston. My personal website is invisiblespiders.com. You can go over there and check out the latest webcomic. There's
Bubble
one up
wrap.
Every day.
It's exciting.
It is quite exciting. And there's one of Melbourne's premier improvisers, Liam Amor, is
yes.
involved in writing for it.
Quite a coup.
Yeah, I'm very excited. For news about Impro in Brisbane, go to impromafia.com. Thanks to David Peachy for our theme music. Hosting for End Time is distractingly provided by Civic Net Web Design.
Sorry, I bagged on for a long time there.
Me too.
Yeah, but that could be fun, and then you can just edit out the libelous stuff and do the Impro Christmas Party podcast.
It'd be fun to listen to back the next day when I'm recovering from my enormous hangover.
That's right. Are you planning to have an enormous hangover?
I think I should plan not to. But you know how these plans go astray.
I was just being emo or whatever. I wasn't, you know, obviously didn't dye my hair black and start listening to My Chemical Dance Floor or whatever it is.